You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take before June 22nd, 2025. It has only been 8 days since the assassination of Melissa and Mark Hortman and the attempted assassination of John and Yvette Hoffman. Every day seems to take on a different angle of the story. But the most common question I continue to get is, how do we move forward? I also feel as though this show and its audience, many of whom I've heard from this week, and I appreciate it, are thinking and processing, whether they are insiders at the Capitol, or they are just civic-minded people who follow these issues and follow politics. And I want to say that, you know, I've always looked at this show as hopefully make you a little more thoughtful and a little smarter on a Sunday morning. And last week was not an easy show to do, and this week was also a challenge to think about what's the conversation that we need to have, considering the mood of Minnesota. One thing I've learned in the last week is that you can just not accept the tone, the rhetoric of partisans, hardcore partisans. Mostly the provocateurs on social media. I've also learned a lot about conspiracy theories and that they are out there and they are plentiful and they multiply themselves and they are dumbfounded to me. And so as I thought about this show and who we should talk to, two names came to mind that were clear. They're people who are thoughtful. They are workhorses. But they're partisans. But they do the work. And they do it with a tone that I think we need more of. They also know the Hortmans and the Hoffmans. And there's been plenty written and plenty said about the Hortmans and the Hoffmans. And we will continue to talk about them as people and their legacies as the Hortmans and their survival, amazing survival as the Hoffmans. But what I really want to bring our guests up to speed with is, what's ahead? What does the public need to know outside the headlines? What does the public need to know outside of tweets that get amplified on the news? That's what I want to know. And so we'll have Republican Representative Dave Baker. He's worked on many bipartisan bills And we'll have Democrat state auditor Julie Blaha. She's from the northern suburbs. She knew Melissa Ortman very well. And Senator Hoffman is very dear to her. But we're going to talk about the way forward. What can we learn? What can we reflect on? What's the tone? I think the biggest tone is, do constituents pay more attention to Washington headlines and that impacts Minnesota? Or do they pay attention to what's actually happening in their home state? I'm Blois Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. We are back on the Sunday Take. My first guest is Representative Dave Baker. Representative Baker and I have known each other a long time. He's a veteran of the legislature. He's one of those representatives who has some real life business experience. He brings that to the Capitol. He's also had his own personal tragedy. He has the demeanor and the tone that I think fits the moment this week and the theme that, what is going forward look like? Representative Baker, thanks for joining me.
Hey, it's really nice to be invited to be here again, boys. Thank you so much.
So I just want to start, some listeners may not know your background. You had a business background. You've advocated based on family tragedy, but you are what I would say is a measured, serious workhorse of a legislator. Talk about why you ever ran for the legislature and how long you've been there and what it looks like now and what you've been thinking about as a veteran of this caucus.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate the compliment about the working part. I did run because I wanted to make a change in the state business climate. I think my biggest concern is losing a lot of successful Minnesotans because of tax issues and things. I ran because I wanted to make a difference, and I think that's the kind of thing that I want to continue to focus on. But to do that, I've realized quickly in my early years, even when I didn't agree with my own caucus about trying to get a bill to the House floor because of a very personal reason, because of the loss of my son and the opioid work that I wanted to do to try to bring some extra revenue to our communities, it took me a big learning curve and a knock on the head to understand. I don't even sometimes agree with my own caucus, but there are times to be able to stand up and to be honest with what you want to do and reach across the aisle, because I needed votes with my Democrat colleagues to make this happen too. And at that time, that's what we did. What's happening now is, I think, just you've still got a large group of us that really work hard, that just focus on the details, read the bills, understand them better, and don't play gamesmanship on the edges, because that doesn't get us anywhere. I've always said, always, bills are better when they're bipartisan bills, because then they don't feel like you got to flip them as soon as the caucuses change, majorities change, and then all of a sudden you go to flipping back, and you can't run a government system when we're bouncing ping pongs back and forth. So I've learned a lot of hard lessons along the way in my 11 years there. I continue to learn, and I want to make sure that we just have serious legislators there that are open to listening. And I think when you don't do that, you get into a lot of trouble.
When you think about Speaker Emeritus Ortman, the work that's been done, you being in the majority, you being in the minority, intersecting with her, and the legacy of the tone and the tenor of people who are trying to get bipartisan things done, what do you think about? I know you wrote a piece for your local newspaper, but what do you think about? And I know it's only been a week, but talk about the conversations that you can with your colleagues about what, if anything, has to change in the caucuses and the bipartisan relationships.
When I think of a Melissa, I just, again, I think of her number one of her number one gifts was her ability to just listen to everybody. I don't care if it was either in her caucus or our caucus. She always made me feel heard. And she may not have agreed, but I always thought she was giving me that complete attention about my issue and how I was explaining it. I think both caucuses, again, I've seen my caucus in action, how some people just they want to go in one direction and they don't really want the leadership and to kind of move in that direction, but yet leadership and in our world, they try to have to bring us all together. I mean, when you only have 67 votes and you really want to pass something and you've got maybe one or two on the other side, you can't lose a single vote. And that's hard to do when you've got these type A personalities that have elected, have election certificates that we want to do some good things. We just have to make sure that I think our caucuses do a better job listening to all and then trying to come up with a compromise in a sense. And the word compromise should not mean we are giving up all of our values, because what we have to do is find better ways to getting there without having anger and frustration. And again, words that are not filtered always spill out into the wrong hands, the wrong media, the wrong headlines. And my concern is that we just need to get serious legislators that are willing to say we need to understand each other better, because every district's a little different. And it's okay to compromise a little bit on certain things to bring a caucus better together without the angers.
When you look at this past session as a tie, obviously it's a historic moment. Your caucus had their feelings, their positions. The DFL caucus had their feelings, their positions. When you got out of that special session, how did you feel? What did you think you learned from the tie in the House?
So I walked away from this session very kind of like, I've never worked so hard for me being a first time chair of a committee, and felt like I got so little in return because we had to share agreements. We had to share losses. And I think for me, it was, I'd like to be able to say I felt good about it, but I felt like, well, you know what, we did get a budget passed. And I hope that people understand how challenging that was in an environment that some of those members, again, on both sides, were unwilling to absolutely move. I'm sure I was part of that problem, because I really wanted to see some things happen with business mandates and unfunded mandates with schools and things like that. That was really core for my work this year. And others were there to just protect what happened in 23 and 24. And they were literally willing to lay on the railroad tracks. I found that to be a real frustrating process. And saying that, 67 tie, I hope we don't see that again for a very long time. But it did some good things. It did make us work together better, because our expectations were lowered. We co-presented in many times at the Ways and Means Committee, for example. And it was nice hearing some folks kind of support each other. Like, this wasn't the bill I would have written either, but you know what? We had to compromise. And that made me look at this session differently. So at the end of the day, I think it was a successful session, because both Speaker Hortman and Speaker Damuth brought us together probably better than anybody could have done in this case.
You know, I know you pay attention, because you and I exchange notes, to kind of the national tone, or, you know, the tone of our governor when he's not working with the legislature. Do you hear about that either from your colleagues or in your district? How much do you think your district, your normal everyday constituents, are paying attention to the tone and tenor of Washington versus Minnesota?
I think they hear a lot more from Washington than they do Minnesota. I think when Trump makes a statement about he doesn't have the time to give Walz a call, that really bothers me. And I hear some of that from my folks around here. Either they support that, like, oh, wasn't that a great thing? And I will say that was the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. Why would we say that was the right thing to do when somebody's hurting like Governor Walz? I mean, again, he's a human first, and I think then we can talk about the politics and things later on. I hear more about that, but I'm more concerned about just people continuing to listen to these things without making a comment, because now they're just, it's all white noise and they hear it so often. I think they're just like, ah, there goes Trump again, or there goes some other crazy congressperson or senator, whatever. I think that what we need to do is just call it out when you see it, when you hear it. Like, no, we don't have to put up with that. We can have better leaders, because God forbid if we ever had a real natural disaster here in Minnesota and we need the federal help, I expect the president to be very civil with our governor, whoever the governor is, and I expect that to go well. And I think that this is a test of a personal tragedy for all of us here. And again, we need to find a way to heal and work together. But I was disappointed with those kind of comments. And I think we just have to do a better job to say, I don't appreciate that. I think we need to share that with our Minnesota delegation. and just not just be quiet. I think our silence is also a problem that many of us have done.
My guest is Representative Dave Baker. He's a Republican from the Willmar area. We're talking about just how we move forward in Minnesota after the assassination of Melissa and Mark Ortman and the shooting of John and Yvette Hoffman. You brought up a word that I use a lot. I use it with my kids. I use it with my clients and my friends, and that's being human. How much humanity does the public not see in the legislature? How much humanity has happened just even in the last week that the public should know about amongst Minnesotans who just happen to have election certificates?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, and that was actually very much in motion before the tragedies of the Hortmans and the Hoffmans. I just spent a day yesterday, boys, all day long with a DFL colleague from the Minnesota House that came out. This had been planned for many weeks in advance, but we wanted to still move forward with this legislative exchange. She's going to spend a day in my district. I'm going to spend a day in her district. More information to come on that down the road. But what we both got out of this long day yesterday was a feeling of exhaustion. We both felt really good that we kind of felt like we kind of got back to what we needed to do. I know we're going to have a much greater appreciation for each other and the issues that we each work on. I'm super excited about those kinds of things that are getting set up. We have a civility caucus that is chaired by Representative Kristen Robbins and Representative Sandra Feist, a DFL colleague and a GOP person and gal, and they work together really well to do these events. That happens during session. We had a couple of really positive things happen. We get to know each other this way because we actually care about each other. We know how hard it was to get there and be elected. We also know how much it takes to step away from our families or our businesses during the session. So we sort of have to, like, in this reality TV show, we come together for 5 months, we have to live together. And it's kind of, you have fights, you have bickers, but you also have a lot of hugs, you have a lot of handshakes, and you literally appreciate people because you know you can't do anything without them supporting something you're working on by a vote or by an attaboy or a pat on the back. A lot of that happens right now. And again, I think with this tragedy, it makes me realize and appreciate my members even more than I really can't wait to see them again, whenever that is, whether it's at the funeral that might be to come, or if it's when we are in present again. I can't wait to see them because I actually miss them right now.
As we wrap this conversation, just one thing you talked about is having somebody out to your district. And much has been made about the split in rural versus urban, two Minnesotas, whatever you want to call it. You know, and in 2018, during the governor's race, you know, one of our projects was hosting the Greater Minnesota Debate. And the idea was we weren't going to allow the Twin Cities not to hear about the issues of Greater Minnesota. And that likewise, Greater Minnesota needed to hear about the issues in the cities. And really, it is that common, you know, you got to visit, you got to talk, you got to understand. So I'm going to take one of the easier issues is agriculture or issues related to your district. What were the kinds of things that you think your colleague that came to your district learned or saw that maybe they didn't even have exposure to before?
Well, a couple items were, we talked about roundtable education with some local superintendents. This member is very engaged in education already, but I wanted this member to kind of hear from my local rural district to see if that might be a little different than what this member is hearing. We tried to get to a big dairy farm, but we didn't have time. I wanted her to see a calf being born because this is a huge farm, and yet they have calves being born every single day. We'll come back to that. We saw the railroad. She has never been to a railroad terminal before, and how that all works and the intricacies of this. We had a business roundtable too. Again, I am a business focused guy, and I wanted this member to hear about the issues that I'm hearing about, that I wanted her to hear too. It was not anything about how could you guys have done this. It was, here's what it's really like out here. And it was such a pleasant, respectful conversation. Again, we could have We could have spent 4 days together and not had enough things to do and to visit because of time. But I really know that this beautiful note that was sent to me this morning about the appreciation of the time we spent together will go a long ways for us. So looking forward to more to come.
Representative Dave Baker, I want to thank you for joining me on the Sunday Take. Before we go, just, you know, what words do you think of? What words are you sharing? What are you hearing from your constituents who are outside of the Twin Cities, might not be impacted by this directly, but they've certainly heard about the news of the assassination of Melissa Ortman and the attempted assassination of the Hoffmans.
You know, my words are,
you're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com. And use code audio.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST. At GRUNS.CO.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Just please be patient with us. Please pray for us and all the elected officials and anybody willing to be a public servant. I am not looking for any kind of a pat on the back or anything like that. But what I want people to know is, let's just do a better job supporting anybody that wants to help volunteer, work at a, you know, cafeteria for nothing, trying to raise a few bucks for the Cub Scouts or Girl Scouts. Just know that it takes all these kinds of people to make our world a better little place to be in. Just help us be patient and give us some grace once in a while.
Representative Baker, thank you.
Thanks, boys. Have a great one.
When we come back, what else is next as we look at the legislative sphere and politics in Minnesota? I'm your host, Blois Olson. This is the Sunday Take. We are back on the Sunday Take. My guest is Julie Blaha. She is the state auditor of Minnesota. She is a Democrat, and she knows politics. She follows politics. She's been involved in politics. She's from the North Metro, Anoka County in particular, and that's significant because both Senator Hoffman and Melissa Ortman are from her kind of area. And this is an area that I've spent a lot of time in, and I don't think the area has anything to do with it, but I know that State Auditor Blaha has thought about these things, and I just want to check in with her as we kind of continue this "where do we go from here" conversation today. Mm-hmm. Auditor Blaha, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I think it's an important conversation.
So I'll just start with this. You know, before we dive in, any reflections on Speaker Hortman or just things you've thought about in the last week? You want to make sure people know and think about as we're all grieving in different ways?
I've got to say, I don't know if I've had a lot of thoughts, kind of a jumbled mess of thoughts, frankly. And I'm at a place where I don't think I've come up with a, you know, anything too deep or wise out of this. But things are, I think we're, I'm kind of getting to the place where I can start to think about it. So I think some of it is, for me right now, I think we need to notice and think that analysis and thinking about a problem and trying to understand something is action. For a lot of us, you know, we want to take action. We want to fix it. You know, most of us who are in the work that we're doing are fixers. So it's tempting to just jump in and fix it. Because that feels like action. That feels like you're doing something that matters. That feels like you're rising to the occasion. But, you know, I think we have to give ourselves some permission to really think, heal up first, of course, but also take some time to really understand where we are now. And I think that that idea of being curious and digging in and trying to understand is action. It is exactly the kind of thing you do first. And so we should give ourselves permission to take some time to really just think and try to understand.
I think that's a good place to go from. And as we think about those things, obviously every day has been a little different. There's been news, but I want to pull out to a wider view. Mm-hmm. You're in a statewide elective. You're a statewide elected official. You talk to folks all over the state, both in your mm-hmm. official capacity and political capacity. What's your sense of the political mood of Minnesota outside, you know, party activists or people who are really engaged?
Well, I think it's this idea of a lot of people are checking out because they think it's either too complicated or too unknowable. I think that that's partly because of the overnationalization of our news. Right now, if the only news you're getting is about major geopolitical events and giant macroeconomic discussions, it can feel pretty foreign because it is quite a ways away from you. We don't spend a lot of time talking about the things in our own neighborhood. We don't spend much time, even the stuff in our own state. And that's the stuff you understand. So naturally, you feel like you aren't qualified to be part of it because these national issues are so big. Most politics, most actual action in the world happens locally. And I think the nationalization of our news has helped people check out. Also, I think the perception of it being just nasty has caused some people to check out. So as a result, people, I think, are a little hesitant to talk about things because they think, well, this is going to be mean. This is going to be nasty. Also, I'm not qualified to talk about it because I don't follow it closely enough because I don't know everything that's going on because we've made it to the point where people feel that way. So that's my worry is how many people are checking out. So when they do get information, well, they've been checked out for so long, it comes in weird ways and it's hard for them to engage or know what to do. And I think there's a lot of people just overwhelmed and checking out.
You know, it's interesting you say that term checking out because that's, you know, as listeners know and you know, I travel the state and I listen to people and especially in even numbered years and I try to see what they're talking about. And more I get the sense they're, quote, checked out or they're going to vote, especially in Minnesota, but they're not following along closely. They detest the partisanship, those kinds of things. But again, as we pull back, as you travel the state, how often do you encounter somebody who face to face challenges you, criticizes you, is partisan versus online or, you know, obviously party events?
You know, one of the things I started beginning my term, our office had been through some pretty controversial stuff, right? We'd had a yeah. lawsuit and our relationships were pretty frayed. And so people said, your first meeting was with Becker County? Your first meeting was from the people that your office sued? It's like, yes, these are Minnesotans. When we're sitting down in a room, they're gonna offer you cookies before they chuck something at you. I mean, this is what it is like when you're actually in a space with somebody. Also, this was about an issue that was something that we all kind of understood, concrete, not as much ideology into it. It was just a concrete kind of an issue. And so those conversations went great. I generally get some really good conversations when I'm talking to somebody. However, you know, I think you would have said that probably about the shooter too, right? That this was a nice person. They were polite. They worked well together. So that's kind of put me in a spot of is that real? Is that masking something? again, I think that still this kind of behavior is still rare, but it has such an impact that we have to take it seriously. But again, yeah, when we're going around, most people, if they get nervous about talking about politics. And I just have always shifted to talking about a local issue. You know, if you're talking about, if I go in and say, let's figure out what we're going to do about the environment. Boy, that's an issue to say, oh, I have no idea. I don't feel smart enough to talk about it. I'm not a geologist or a hydrologist. But if I say, I understand you're having some hard water problems in your neighbor, in your neighborhood. Boom, we can talk there. There we can talk about all of those issues, but it's something you know, you are an expert on. You know enough to have a really important conversation on it. And I think, so that's always been my kind of mantra in this role was when it gets tough, go local, get local, because it is something you understand you can really participate in. It also, I think, helps us stay connected. I think it's also where you can get the best information because you're closer to the sources of information. And so I think that there is possibly some solutions in that and in localizing. I would love it if we had more coverage of local issues than we do of national issues. Local issues affect you a lot more than a national issue does, but we get so little coverage of it as we've lost small papers and things like that. So it's not surprising that people are going to check out because they're not connected to it because it is not in their neighborhood. I'd love to be able to talk about things in your neighborhood. You solve a feral cat problem in your neighborhood, an issue that came up a lot when I was door knocking in Brooklyn, Brooklyn Park. You know, you solve that together and okay, you're going to see each other differently. It's going to be harder to radicalize somebody against somebody if they know them. It's going to be harder to believe this ridiculous information if you actually know them. So I think there might be some opportunity in that. And some places to come together there. But yeah, I think that's the issue. I think people they're not just checked out because they don't like the tone. They also have been, I think, convinced that they don't understand enough to be part of it. That's another way we're keeping people out. If you fully nationalize it, no one feels connected to that. No one feels enough of an expert to be part of that. People think they have to sound like a talking head on CNN. No, that is absolutely not where you need to be able to engage in local politics. And so I think we have to get that back. People feeling, no, you have power here. You know enough to be here. You have the right values to be here and get re-engaged. The disconnection is dangerous.
I want to peel back another layer on that because I think about the anger of the parties and the partisans and the activists. And I think about the anger that Republicans had while Joe Biden was president, back to your nationalization of this. And I think of the anger that Democrats have right now about Donald Trump being president and the rallies. And we're not going to get into the issues of why they're mad right now, but history says beyond America, you rally the public, they get energized, they push back against power. But when you see that or you feel it at a rally or at a caucus, do you sense, you've been around caucuses a long time, you've been around partisans a long time, do you think there's more anger there now than before? And is it because it's a narrower group? Or do you think why do you think there's so much anger on both sides?
If I could understand that, this would be a lot easier. I think that, you know, the things that are happening seem to be more, you know, our policies are a little more extreme. But, you know, I feel like there's this place that we have to find here, right? There's one thing about people being tough, right, and being strong. And people being in a place where they are dehumanizing and dangerous. You know, maybe because I come out of the labor movement before this, you know, former treasurer of the AFL-CIO, you know, this is kind of my thing. So we spend a lot of time. You can be tough. You can hold a strike line. You can be tough. You don't have to cause violence. You can exercise your power. You can exercise a lot of power. You can make things, you can push really hard without going to the place where anybody is dehumanized to the point that people could try to hurt them. And so I think we are assuming that intensity equals something that's inappropriate or scary. We've got to be able to, we have to be able to be intense with each other. We've got to be able to be hold each other accountable. We've got to say hard things to each other without crossing that line into a place of misinforming each other or dehumanizing each other. And I think that that's the thing. And that's one of maybe one of the reasons I hate that question. Oh, should we just tone down the rhetoric? It's like, yeah. This seems simplistic. What a great way to silence people. If you're a thoughtful person, like, oh, I just won't say anything. And so toning down the rhetoric for a lot of people feels like just going silent. That's not the right choice, because then the people who are the worst with the rhetoric, well, they'll keep going. And that's all that's going to be left in the space. So I think it's the idea of how do, you know, we can't equate power, exercising your very valid real power as an American versus doing something that's dangerous. And we, you know, we have to talk about that line. And we have to be able to be tough with each other. But I think about that in the labor movement, you know, how many times I had people, you know, disagree with me strongly. I mean, real strongly. Sometimes, you know, I would sometimes work in, and I worked in a lot of male dominated spaces. And so, yeah, sometimes it's something extremely sexist, sometimes realizing it, sometimes not. It could say something really just out of line, but we had enough of a connection that we'd still all go to the bar afterwards and hang out. We could still do that because we had something that held us together. Our kind of our shared values about protecting working people held us together enough that we could have a tough conversation. You know, maybe what we need, if we're going to be angry with each other, and I think there might be reasons we should be angry with each other. What is the kind of connection we need so that anger doesn't get dangerous? I don't know if I know that yet.
I think this is the start of a discussion, but you brought up intensity and anger and those kinds of things. And we know as humans that once somebody gets intense, then the reaction is to get intense back. And I appreciate your, it's not just as easy as tone down the rhetoric, but I also believe, I think one of the things that I've seen, it's not just conspiracy theories. It's not just misinformation, but there's just a lack of humanity, even when you're disagreeing. There's a you know, name calling, the keyboard warrior thing. The, you know, 5 years ago I wrote a piece about we're losing our civil minds because we're beating people in effigy. And by the way, that's been done on both sides of the aisle. And it just struck me as, you know, we've lost it. As we close here, just how do you think, or if a constituent or an activist came to you and said, I'm mad, I want to go forward, what can I do? What's the kind of guidance you can give as a party leader and somebody who, you know, frankly, takes a measured view at this more than your average activist?
You know, I think I'm not hearing anybody say, let's do this. Yet, I think most everybody that I'm talking to, frankly, is in their grief and is got the fogginess you get when you're sad, feels overwhelmed by the issue and the immensity of it, the stakes of it. And so I'm getting a lot of people just, we're all just trying to get a handle on our, where are we, you know, and on our emotions and our understanding of the situation. But I, you know, when someone does come talk, my question is like, yeah, what are you thinking about? You know, when you first heard about this, what were your first thoughts? You know, they may not actually be what, they may not have actually played a role in this instance, right? But they are a thing that is real that you know of, that is something that is something you're feeling, something you've perceived in the world that I think may be helpful. So I think our next step is the idea of let's not be impulsive. Let's not jump too quickly. Let's really dig in a way that gets beyond merely partisanship or merely surface rhetoric or any of that, but really talk about what is it deeper than this that causes someone to be radicalized to violence? What is that? And let's get really curious about it. Let's try to actually hear what we're saying. And let's talk to some people we don't always talk to. Let's start there and see what comes out of that and be ready for something to appear that we can get some handle on.
We're going to close here, but let's talk to some people we don't usually talk to is probably the nugget that I think many folks on each side can take from this.
You know, I think, you know, can I tell you one story before we stop?
Yeah.
This, you know, when this all started, and I am sitting there on Saturday and watching the news obsessively, texting everyone I know to see how they're doing and all of that. And I'm in this moment and getting angry, getting really angry, thinking, okay, I'm sick of this. Is this Trump and all of the things he keeps saying? Is this all the things that, you know, that we've been talking about? Is that it? And I'm starting to get mad at everybody that yep. voted for Trump, or anybody. It's like, wait a second, this is my family. I've got members of my family I love dearly, and I know why they did this. So what I did was, what happened was, after I was on WCCO for a couple minutes, for a bit, I got a legislator, Republican legislator, said, hey, that was well done. And I started texting back and forth with him, and we talked a bit, and I started realizing, okay, they're scared too. Republicans yeah. are feeling this too. And you know what? It's reasonable that they're scared too. It is. That's right. A rational response to this as well. And hearing about this legislator's wife saying, you know, she knew about, she'd heard of death threats, but this is the first time she started thinking, is this? And feeling that, and then talking to a couple other Republican legislators and understanding, it's like, okay, this is all of us. It humanized this group I was starting to get irrationally mad at, to me. And it was huge. That moment, that person kept connecting with me, was a huge help to keep me from going off on down a bad road. And so the idea of connecting with people you don't connect to and really be able to hear them, I think we'll be surprised at what we hear, and we'll be surprised at how much we actually agree in this area.
State Auditor Julie Blaha, I know we'll talk more. Thanks for joining me on Sunday Take.
No, thanks for having the conversation.
When we come back, this week's take. Welcome back to Sunday Take. I'm Blois Olson. We heard from Representative Baker. We heard from Auditor Blaha. And so this week's take is about the way forward. I don't know that.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
we're really doing this.
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
If you are a legislator or an elected official, the way forward will ever have total peace. And I think it's a different kind of violation. Of course, the governor has security, and it, members of Congress, if they need it, have security. But there's 201 legislators, and there's this shattering of accessibility and openness. So as we go forward, I want us to be gentle. I want to be gentle in my commentary. I want to be gentle in my analysis. And it's not just because we deserve to be gentle for a while. It's because the most challenging thing I've learned this week, and it's an advancement in my education, is the way in which one word or three words or seven words can be twisted and taken and used politically, almost as a verbal weapon. Well, they didn't say this, or they said this and they really meant that. That exacerbates these conspiracy theories, exaggerates the rhetoric. And to a certain part of our population, fills some sort of adrenaline void that they're feeling. And my goal is not to add to the adrenaline in politics around personalities or parties. I'll be with Vanita every day through Thursday at 6:20. You can follow along with all of our newsletters at thedailyagenda.com. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate the feedback, and always feel free to send or mention more. Until next week, that's the Sunday Take.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. What if your next move wasn't another job, but a career? The St. Louis Building and Construction Trades are looking for the next generation to build what's next. Earn while you learn through a union apprenticeship. No massive student loan debt, just real training, real skills, and real opportunities. Many union trades earn $40 to $75 an hour in total compensation, including health care and retirement. With major construction projects happening across St. Louis and Missouri, there's never been a better time to get started. Build your future. Visit mouniontcareers.com today.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.